Weather and science across the globe. The Weather Jazz Podcast.
The nights may be long, cold and dark, but the perfect antidote is a quick, warm and bright podcast. You've come to the right place. Grab a hot chocolate and your favorite sweater.
Here's Andre.
Well, happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome to Weather Jazz, a world audience podcast about anything and everything. Weather, science, earth science, and periodically, some interesting off-topic episodes that, for no other reason, your host finds interesting, and hopefully I can make interesting for you who are listening out there and enjoying it. I am your host and the creator of the Weather Jazz Podcast, Andre Bernier, the senior meteorologist on staff with WJW Television in Cleveland, Ohio, and this is episode number 281. For Wednesday, January 12th, 2021. Okay, I promised to get you updated on the below zero wind chill hours because we were pretty close to that on Monday, but at posting time, we had not seen any wind chill temperatures go below zero yet. We were close, but we weren't quite there. And there was a chance that we would see that happen. Well, did we? Looking back over the last 48 hours, the lowest wind chill that Cleveland Hopkins Airport hit was zero. It did not go below zero, but it hit zero for 3 hours. Burke Lakefront Airport also hit zero. Cuyahoga County Airport in Richmond Heights on the east side of Cuyahoga County, 2 degrees below zero wind chill for a couple of the hours. Lost Nation Airport in Willoughby had a coldest wind chill of minus one, so they just barely hit that point. Akron Canton did get down to 2 below zero for the wind chill. Youngstown, 2 below. Now Mansfield hit 4 below, and that for 7 hours of that 48-hour period. So we did hit a few. But Hopkins Airport, often referred to as pretty much the normal Cleveland site, or the normal site at which Cleveland bases all of its meteorological information, only hit zero, did not go below yet. Now, will that change? Very likely in this pattern, yes. In fact, the latest long-range supercomputer models, even from those that have a warm bias, indicating that we're going to be seeing some temperatures that are colder than normal now for the rest of January and into early February. That's a normal. That doesn't say that that will be continuous, but when you average out everything, we're certainly going to be in that cold pattern. And one more thing, with that cold pattern, it looks like the jet stream is going to steer, at least in the near term, the next 7 days or so, most of the storms and the storm track diving at southeast into the south central states and then up the east coast, or certainly perhaps up Appalachia, up the Appalachian mountain range. That would put it a little bit closer to Ohio. But suffice to say, with that kind of a storm track, we're not going to see any voluminous amounts of snow to eat away at what has become a 17-inch snowfall deficit now for Hopkins Airport. Month to date, 1.4 inches and only 6 inches for the season. For the entire season up to now, we should be at 23.1 inches. Instead, we're at 6. And so travel, well, there have been a few challenges along the way, but travel, by and large, has been very much of a non-challenging affair. Okay, we're going to talk in just a little bit about Mount Washington. We'll do that after the break, but before we do that, a couple more numbers that you may be interested in. and that would be Great Lakes ice coverage. The total Great Lakes ice coverage is now up to 13.4%. For Lake Erie, it's 17%. But both of those numbers are indeed below normal. But with this kind of a pattern, it is likely that we'll accelerate the amount of ice that we see on all of the Great Lakes. We'll, of course, keep you posted to that. And if we catch up to normal right here on Weather Jazz. We'll take a short break when we come back. As we mentioned in the last episode, episode number 280, that we might explore Mount Washington and why in the world it is so wild. That's almost a tongue twister. So we'll head up to the Northeast's tallest peak coming up after the break. And we're back. And let's head up to the summit of Mount Washington, but let's do it the easy way, electronically and via information. That way, we're not having to pack away a ton of gear, especially at this time of year, which would be, in fact, very dangerous because of the fact that it does have the world's wildest weather in the continental United States. Of course, it's not at sea level. It is at 6,288 feet above sea level. But first, let me explore this question just out of curiosity. I was thinking, are there any other mountain peaks that are called Mount Washington? The most famous one, at least that I know of, is in New Hampshire. And in fact, there are other peaks that are called Mount Washington. In British Columbia, there is another Mount Washington, and the peak is 5,210 feet, literally just a shade below Mount Washington by about 1,000 feet or so. And what about the USA? Are there any other mountain peaks in the USA whose name is Mount Washington? And the answer is yes, there are, but obviously they don't have the same kind of notoriety that the one in New Hampshire has. They are in Arizona, California, Massachusetts, New Mexico, Nevada, New York, Oregon, and Washington State. Ooh, one more, Wisconsin. And by the way, outside of the continental United States, there's one other. In the U.S. Virgin Islands, on the island of St. Croix, there is a Mount Washington. All right, let's talk about the one in New Hampshire. Obviously, it is the one that still, by the way, has a wind speed record for the northern and western hemisphere. It was broken elsewhere. More on that in just a little bit. However, let's talk about the summit. The summit is technically in a township, believe it or not, which is called Sergeant Purchase. Sergeant Purchase is the township that the very summit is part of. And the Appalachian Trail does cross over the summit of Mount Washington. So many through hikers who go through the Appalachian Trail, whether it's from north to south or south to north, will indeed cross over and on top of the summit of Mount Washington. Now, it has a bit of a history before the European settlers really took notice of the mountain peak and eventually scaled it. The Native Americans called it Agiocochok, which means the place of the concealed one. Now, that's interesting because being the tallest peak in the Northeast, and really pretty much orographically would be in a place where cloud cover could easily develop, even just from upslope winds, it stands to reason that very frequently the summit of Mount Washington is concealed by cloud cover, by a cap cloud. Now, as far as we know, at least in terms of some kind of record, the first person to ever summit to the top of what we know of now as Mount Washington, was Darby Field in 1642. And right now there's an official trail called the Crawford Path. The Crawford Path was actually laid out in, now get this, this is way back, 1819. And that makes the Crawford Path, which, by the way, is still in use up to the summit of Mount Washington. It's one of many, many trails that lead there that hikers can take. But the Crawford Path is the oldest continuous maintained hiking path in the United States. Again, having its origin way back in 1819. So you could conceivably head up and summit the peak of Mount Washington, go to the peak via this trail, which was actually laid out in 1819, a part of big, big history. Okay, one more bit of information before we close out today, and that is really what Mount Washington is famous for. And that is its 231-mile-per-hour wind gust. And technically, it's a surface wind speed because it's not an aloft wind speed because it is part of the surface of the earth. It was an anemometer in April of 1934 that essentially measured a 231-mile-per-hour wind gust. Quick little story on that. From what I understand, the observer that day looked at the anemometer and noticed that the wind speeds were around 100 miles an hour, but it seemed like it was too low. The anemometer was literally caked with rime ice. So it was essentially one of the observers that strapped on all of his winter gear and went outside and climbed the tower on which the anemometer sat so that he could essentially chisel away all of the ice, bang it off of the anemometer, which he did. But in the process, found it extremely difficult and thought, boy, 100 miles an hour, I think it's a little bit higher than that. We'll find out once we knock all of the ice off of the anemometer. He did that, went back inside, and that's when the winds were gusting to 231 miles per hour. So just imagine that observer, had he not held on tight, a 231-mile-an-hour wind would certainly have blown him off of the summit without him holding on for very, very dear life. It's an interesting story, but it's a true story. And that record may not have occurred had not the observer gone out and knocked all of the ice off the anemometer that had collected so much rime ice in the overnight period. Now, the reason for that wind and such crazy wind speeds at the summit of Mount Washington is that Mount Washington sits at the convergence point of three main storm tracks. And under the right circumstances, and given the topography, the local topography of the area, and given the fact that Bernoulli effect comes into play, in other words, the squeezing of the air masses and the squeezing. It's kind of like putting your thumb on top of a garden hose. When you press your thumb on the opening, suddenly you're taking a volume of water that is going to remain constant, and you're forcing it to squeeze essentially in a smaller space. And that's what the summit does to the atmosphere. So it squeezes the atmosphere into a smaller space. The wind speeds, therefore, increase just like the water speed increases when you place your thumb on top of a garden hose when it's on full blast. When it's all full blast, well, yeah, you might have a pretty good batch of water, but you put your thumb on top and wow, you can get that thing to really spread out and go much farther and faster outside that nozzle. So that is one of two things or two elements that are in play. It's the convergence of the storm tracks in the Northeast, essentially three storm tracks that are very well documented, and also the topography that allows the squeezing of the atmosphere and the Bernoulli effect, which increases the wind speed. All right, the new record that has been set was set on, oddly enough, April, because it was in April of 1934 that the 231 mile per hour wind gust was recorded on the summit of Mount Washington. It was April 10th, 1996, but it was not in the Northern Hemisphere. In fact, it was off of the coast of Australia in a place called Barrow Island, where tropical cyclone Olivia produced a wind gust of 254 miles per hour. That was the wind gust, Barrow Island, Australia, from tropical cyclone Olivia, 1996. However, again, the 231 mile per hour wind gust is still the record for the Northern Hemisphere and the Western Hemisphere. It's just a different part of the world. So on a global scale, certainly 254 bests 231, but we still hold the record in a couple of those categories globally, Northern and Western Hemisphere. Well, did you enjoy today's episode? And do you know somebody who is into Mount Washington or mountain climbing, or perhaps has been to the top? Please let them know about this podcast episode, episode number 281 at weatherjazz.com or via any podcast app. And if you have a question or a topic suggestion, I welcome your input. You can reach me always at weatherjazz@yahoo.com. And now via text and voicemail at the Weather Jazz Podcast Audience Connect line, 234-525-5888, 234-525-5888, even if it's just to say hello. And we had somebody who said hello recently, just called to say hello, that they enjoyed the podcast and were recovering from a bout of Omicron, apparently. And I'd like to play that for you right now. Here is that call received on the Weather Jazz Podcast Audience Connect line.
There's something comforting about warm sunshine coming through a frosty window on my shoulder. God's blessing. While I spoon homemade egg drop soup and sip honey lemon tea while recovering from the effects of Omicron. Jermana Dewey, Akron, Ohio. Kenmore, actually. Bye. Thank you, Andre.
Well, we certainly wish you well. Thank you so much for your call. And I'd love to hear from you, whether it's just to say hello, or you have a topic suggestion, or a weather or science question, even a personal question. That's fine, too. I just love hearing from you and hope you'll take the time to give me a call at 234-525-5888 when you have a chance. Open Line Friday is coming up, so get ready for that, and we'll see you with another engaging episode right here on Weather Jazz.
Weather and science across the globe. Across the globe. The Weather Jazz Podcast.